T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, Mike Lynch here.
Hey, and I'm Patrick Harris.
You probably like baseball, which is why you're listening to this. This is the Hot Corner Podcast.
Well, I kind of like baseball. I guess I'll tune in.
Baseball's pretty neat, so thanks for listening. This is brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Center.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Woo, baseball!
And now the pitch by Martinez is up and in and hits Gerald Williams on the left hand.
Dig your cleats in.
Now he's going to charge the mound. He's going to charge Martinez, and the fight is on. He got a right hand in before he's grabbed from behind by Varitek, and now the benches are empty.
It's time for hour two of the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris.
Yashinsky wanting to know, am I going? He is going.
And Mike Lynch.
It is a collision at the plate, and Yashinsky not only bangs into Barrett, bangs onto the plate, and here they go.
Step up to the plate for hour two of the Hot Corner.
Posadnik getting into it with Barrett. I mean, there is some hooking going on in the bottom of two piles.
On 1080.
Rudez, no. Whoa. Bautista got all he could handle with that. Wow. That's some pretty solid contact right there.
The Fan.
Welcome into the second hour of the Hot Corner. If you missed the first hour, you can download that at the Les Schwab Tires podcast at 1080 The Fan. Speaking of podcast, Beers on Us drops tomorrow around 4 p.m. You can get that wherever you get your podcasts, including at 1080thefan.com. Baseball.
Baseball?
Started rewatching Ken Burns baseball.
For the blank time?
Fifth, maybe? Fourth, fifth time? Something like that?
Still haven't watched it in full.
Yeah.
Still have to do that.
But I'll tell you what.
But look, I cannot stop watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine. It is so funny.
I will tell you this. Do you know when I watch Ken Burns baseball?
You watch Ken Burns baseball.
Time of the year, not time of the day.
When you wake up in the morning, I was going to say. The time of year that you watch Ken Burns baseball?
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and assume the summer because you're about to watch it again.
No, I tend
the summer.
Nope. I tend to watch Ken Burns baseball right before a major league season is about to start just to get me excited again about baseball.
Oh, so you're going to rewatch it now because you feel hope, pray?
Because I feel hope, pray.
That we're about to get into baseball in the middle of July?
That we're about to do this.
All right.
Posted today. As Rob Manfred meets with union rep Tony Clark, quote, at my request, Tony Clark and I met for several hours yesterday in Phoenix. We left the meeting with a jointly developed framework that we agreed could form the basis of an agreement, and subject to conversations with our respective constituents, I summarized that framework numerous times in the meeting and sent Tony a written summary today. 65 games start July 19th. 10 off days, expanded, excuse me, live radio, expanded playoffs, DH in both leagues. That's where we are.
That's where we are.
That's where we are. Until Ken Rosenthal tweeted 39 minutes ago that players do not want 60 games because they know they can play more.
Yes. And I think, well,
and I think this is the point.
I should stop saying I think because I don't know. I imagine Rob Manfred knew 60 games was the starting point and that he's probably willing to go up to about the number I've seen bandied about today has been about 65, 66. They say 66 is easier to schedule because it's an even number. and that it would be somewhere in there.
No ties if you don't do evens. Just saying.
Yeah, well, 162 is an even number, so.
And we got problems.
No, we have solutions. Great playoff games.
That is true. I am curious, though, because what this whole thing seemed and what kind of got Manfred in his S storm in the first place was that Major League Baseball can impose this, but they know they have to basically walk away and keep things on hold as long as they can so they can only play 50 games. And I think players know that.
Well,
they're
calling
Major League Baseball's bluff.
Did you see Trevor Bauer's thread?
It
may have been the greatest thing I've seen him tweet. And he is
one of the greatest Indians pitchers of all time, Trevor Bauer. Graduate of UCLA, head coach of their football, Chip Kelly. Boom. That's how we do radio. Just going to lean back. My services are for hire,
Patrick,
not really.
Patrick.
I'm not for sale. I work for 10E, the Fan.
I've lost my train of thought now.
Bam. Chip Kelly.
What were we talking about prior to Chip Kelly and UCLA?
Trevor Bauer.
Oh, okay. Trevor Bauer.
Watched him pitch game 2 of the World Series with my eyeballs.
In person, yes. We've heard.
Wasn't a good game. He got the loss.
Trevor Bauer is outspoken on a lot of things.
Yeah.
I actually tend to disagree with him more than I agree with him. I think he's a little bit of a wacko sometimes.
I agree with you, but I love that he talks all the time.
But his thread, and I actually read it on the air on primetime yesterday, 2 days ago, whenever it was. I mean, it was so smart, and he is dead on what Manfred and MLB are doing.
Mm-hmm.
How do you delay for 2 weeks to get the 48, 58 games that you want? Oh, I don't know. Just say that they're not negotiating in good faith and lie about it and threaten to end the season and just, you know, make up things for 2 weeks.
Yep.
It's not so clever, Mr. Manfred, because everyone figured it out in a second what you were doing. So good on Trevor Bauer and the players for realizing what was happening. Also brilliant, absolutely brilliant by Tony Clark to say, tell us when and where we're playing.
Yep.
Because it put all the pressure back on the MLB that said, look, we want to play.
Genius move by the players. Hey, look, we're done with this. Just say when and where.
Yeah, we're going to play.
Because they knew what baseball was doing.
Yep.
So they were like, I'm tired of this song and dance. I'm tired of doing this. You tell me when and I'll be there. And they're like, oh, well, we still got to figure that. It's like, no, you don't. You're stalling. We know you're stalling. Stalin? Joseph Stalin?
You're Russian? Or Soviet, I should say.
Well, they're definitely not rushing the season. They're definitely pausing the season.
I mean, look, we're in the presence of a radio professional right here who's at the top of his game, and we really got to appreciate it. I'm going to give myself some credit for starting this off with the softball that I lobbed to him for that drop, because he got into the mindset of being creative, and there we go.
Hey, Mike, this is the job interview tape today, okay?
All right.
We got it.
Make sure you grab it. You're going to forget.
I'm going to leave you behind. But, I mean that's clearly what it is, and that's what we're sitting
you
in.
You leaving me behind?
No, Mike, I'm only here because of you. Let's not forget that. Yeah. Just because my name's first doesn't mean I have this job without you.
Your name is first. You're more important.
No, it's just alphabetical.
That's not true. It's because you're in the one chair.
Oh, okay. Well, then the podcast is yours, Mr. One Chair.
Because I was in the one chair in that one, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's boring. But I think, but it's interesting, and that's why I'm so curious about how this plays out with the CBA. Because the players know what they're doing. Major League Baseball thinks they're pulling a fast one. And they're not. It's quite obvious to everyone. I mean, when I heard it, like every time it was like, okay, we'll do 80 games at 75%. And they're like, no. They're like, okay, what about 65 at 80%? You're like, that's the same number. Wait a sec. Like, we have calculated, like, we could do math too. We're all millionaires. We have attorneys. We can figure this out. You're just trying to get what you want at the end of the day, and that's what Major League Baseball is doing now, which is why I'm really curious, and we mentioned this earlier, why I think this might affect collective bargaining agreement. Because they're going to be like, look, you tried to screw us, and we know it. You tried to hide it, and we knew it. You did it the whole time. Why do we trust you?
Exactly. That's the problem going into the CBA, though, too, is that the trust is at an all-time low.
Mm-hmm.
It's been eroded because both sides are doing this completely selfishly, and they're not trying to compromise at all. Kind of sounds a little bit like our country right now, which I guess is not too surprising because that's just how things are trending. But It's not very hidden.
No,
it's I was trying to think of the opposite of transparent. It's very transparent that of what the MLB is trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad the players are smart enough to realize it. And I'm glad that they have Tony Clark at the head of them, because he is very smart and is very good at playing this game, apparently. And he's going to get a lot more of what the players want by doing what he did when sending out that message. And now having Manfred come, and this is not exactly how it happened, and I'm sure that's going to change and it's going to be different. To me, today felt like Manfred begging on his knees, please, my image, my image.
Yep.
Or please, our sport. Because a lot of people have said this, and this is not me, and this is not you, and this is not Joe, and this is not many of our listeners, if any of them. But I've heard a lot of people say, I'm a casual baseball fan. After this, I'm not watching the sport anymore. It's stupid. I've heard a lot of people say that.
Yeah.
And we talked about this months ago when the MLB seemed like the first sport that was going to come back. And like, wow, what a big boom, right?
Thought it was going to be huge.
And I mean,
like, you're on the forefront. You're the only sport playing.
The ratings,
you get eyeballs everywhere.
The ratings for the PGA Tour last week were high.
I watched.
For two guys at the top who no one's ever heard of on Sunday.
Yeah.
And that could have been you, baseball.
Well, I did like seeing Xander hole out on that, though. Or lip out on that.
That wasn't Xander. Nice. It was the guy.
Shoffley didn't do it?
He might have.
That was Colin Morikawa.
Yeah, Morikawa did it twice. This could have been you, Major League Baseball. You could have had a Sunday night baseball game between Tampa and
Minnesota.
Great example.
Both teams that are quality teams but aren't sexy on paper.
Right. And you would have had someone going, oh, look, there's baseball on tonight.
Yeah, I'll watch baseball.
Maybe you see Minnesota score 8 runs at home, right? Maybe you see Blake Snell throw 10 strikeouts.
3-hit shutout.
And you,
not really, because he can't go the distance.
Right.
My baseball shape isn't that bad.
No.
My bad.
I should have said Glasnow, because he could probably go the distance.
Glasnow can go the distance.
Throw 99 and then like a 75 mile an hour cheesy knuckleball.
Dude, Mike, you're doing it again, dude. Getting turned on here.
And by knuckleball, I mean curveball. You could have had a viewer see that as a casual fan and go, wow, that was a great game.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they watched the Charles Schwab Classic or Challenge or whatever it was called. Yeah. And, you know, you still have a chance. Now you're going to be competing with the NBA and the NHL and football and all that. I mean, okay. You still have a chance. And I think baseball realized that of, oh, my God, we're going to lose. And you can't – if you're like a sport in baseball who, although we've started to accept that it's a regional sport and it will always be a regional sport before it's a national sport.
So is college football.
Baseball desperately wants to be a national sport again. And when you start seeing that as, well, if you don't play this year, guess what? Probably is not going to happen for a very long time, if ever again, being a national sport. Right. A lot of momentum behind this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I think they saw that. And Rob Manfred got on his knees and said, please, Tony, please, let's work this out.
When Major League Baseball.
Will you marry me?
When game one of the World Series is on a Tuesday and you wake up in the morning, you work a 9-to-5, you get in your car, turn on 1080 The Fan. Like, oh, what are they talking about today? Ooh, it's game one of the World Series. What are they talking about? Talking about the Monday Night Football game the night before. It's also day two of the weekend. So that little stuff you didn't get to. Sure, you talked about Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes. Maybe you crushed Baker Mayfield. But you didn't get to Dak. You didn't get to Carson Wentz. You didn't get to the Seahawks. So now I'm going to do that on Tuesday. Baseball had a chance to be in that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Again.
Yep.
And like I always say this, all Major League Baseball's got to do is just get out of your own way. And until they do that, we might be sitting here. Sitting here waiting.
Yep.
Sitting here waiting, hosting a show about Klay Thompson, the NBA, and Chip Kelly. You know? And his recruiting class at UCLA, which I hear is actually like one of the sleeper picks in the Pac-12 South.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, my sources are telling
me. Changing your opinion that quickly,
my
huh?
sources are telling me that UCLA, look out.
Oh, okay.
It can be dangerous in a loaded Pac-12 South.
Loaded?
Loaded. Loaded.
Loaded?
Yeah. Pac-12 South right now, man, this year is going to be so good. I'm lying. Not at all. It's going to be terrible. It's going to be Utah and a bunch of other losers. All right, when we come back, I do want to get into the Long Days of Summer, the documentary, the 30 for 30 that came out about Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, and their home run chase in 1998. We'll do all that next. That's Mike Lynch, Joe Fish behind the glass. I'm Patrick Harris. This is 1080 The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
In the commercial break, I turned to my colleagues, my longtime old good friends, Michael Lynch, Joseph Fisher III.
I'm incredibly disappointed.
And I am incredibly disappointed in both of you.
What?
Neither of these yahoos watched the 30 for 30 on McGwire Sosa.
I didn't watch all of it, no.
I didn't watch any of it because I forgot it was on.
What else were you watching, Mike?
I wasn't. I was playing Call of Duty.
Of Duty? That game's been out for like a century.
Okay, and I feel like I was playing
Warzone, which is new and is fun.
I have an even better excuse,
I was playing
GTA
5, and you're like, what?
I was watching it, and I got up until like the part of Roger Maris and when the season first started.
Only the legitimate home run record in a single season.
True. And like the beginning of their season, basically. And then I started talking to my dad on the phone, and I remembered that they have my old original PlayStation and all the games and the controllers. And I'm like, do you mind if I come and get that? So I turned the TV off left and went and grabbed my old PlayStation.
So both of you chose video games over literally your job.
Okay, I chose
your
nostalgia.
Job.
I chose video games over something that I watched live.
Your job, Mike. Your job.
Well, did I know that we were going to talk about that today?
No, I traded in.
Whoa, it was easy for you just to sit behind the glass when Primetime talked about it and you just turn your mic off and say, oh, I don't care.
You know who didn't talk about it? Primetime, because they didn't watch it either.
Damn it. That doesn't prove my point in any way, shape, or form.
I just traded
nostalgia.
I looked at them
and I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot that was on. And they were like, yeah, we didn't watch it.
They were like, what's baseball?
I traded nostalgia for nostalgia, man. All right? From something that happened in the 90s to a big part of the 90s. Crash Bandicoot.
You know what?
You know, I'm sorry.
It is a good game.
Yeah.
I do like that
game. I got SmackDown.
The voice of...
now you're talking.
What's the little floaty mass name again? Apu or whatever?
The voice
of him died.
Oh, that's disappointing.
I saw that. Yeah, that's sad. I chose social time with my friends over watching a documentary by myself of something that I lived through.
Well, I watched the documentary with my girlfriend because I felt it was a bonding moment for our relationship.
Well, I'm glad you did. Was it bonding? Or did she fall asleep?
No, she watched the whole thing. I don't think she cared as much as I did.
Well, that's not surprising.
No, that's not surprising at all, and I don't hold it against her.
So it wasn't much of a bonding moment. It was just a thing to watch together.
Oh, well,
it was a thing to watch for you, and she was like, sure, honey.
Well, we kind of put it on a time crunch. We were going to watch it on Sunday, and then we had DVR issues, so we watched it on Monday, and part of the whole thing was like, I really need to watch this because on Wednesday, always on Wednesdays when we talk baseball on the radio, I should probably know what happened so I could have a great, healthy conversation with my friends about this. And now I've just learned you guys are just gamer coworkers.
Well, guess what? You're having a healthy conversation with friends about it right now.
Yeah, I guess not
about the actual documentary.
Yeah, I know. I could have just been lying the whole time.
About the reasons why we...
McGwire cried through the whole thing.
Did he?
Yeah, he took steroids on camera. You don't know. You didn't watch it.
So the best TV I ever saw, man.
Yeah, you missed the best TV you ever saw.
So you make sure you hit the vein right here.
Yeah.
Okay?
Ugh, that makes me uncomfortable.
Sammy Sosa's got lighter skin than I do.
You want to go into your right?
I did know that, yes.
You
want to go into
that.
Your right butt cheek because that is actually going to get to your heart faster.
Ooh, when's the Clemens documentary coming out?
So did they address the steroid thing?
They did. They did on a touch.
The advertisement made it look like it was just going to be all about the home runs and they're going to ignore the giant elephant in the room.
They did kind of touch on it. They touched a little bit on Griffey. I wish they could have done a little more on Griffey. But they touched.
It was a big part of that year.
They touched a little bit on Griffey. When it came to steroids, about midway through, they started talking about how, because in real life during that season, it came out that Mark McGwire was on Andro. Like everybody knew.
Yeah.
So and that was something interesting that I'd kind of forgotten, that everybody knew he was juicing while this was happening. You know, it's usually something we're used to it finding out later. You know, you find out A-Rod's been juicing his whole career later, not during his career. Bonds, you got some whispers, but it's more the Balco stuff's more at the end of his career than the beginning of his career. So they kind of touched on that. And then at the end, kind of talked, I don't know, for lack of a better term, legacy. And I actually gave a lot of props to Mark McGwire in this interview, because you could tell he understood the price that he was going to pay for the rest of his life. And he seemed a little remorseful for it.
Even though he still has not admitted to using it, right?
He admits in the documentary that he never used a banned substance. Which is true. That, well, of what we know. That everything he took was an over-the-counter, you could get it anywhere. But he did kind of acknowledge that those choices have cost him something. And he wasn't really fighting about it. Mm. Wasn't really saying, I was robbed or anything like that. So it gave him a little credit in that.
Was Sammy Sosa similar?
No.
Defiant?
Not defiant. Sammy Sosa stood on his pedestal and said, basically, I'm not quoting directly, but in layman's terms, he basically said, I was a part of that home run chase. I've hit over 600 home runs. You can't take that away from me. Are they going to put me in the Hall of Fame? No, I don't care. You can't take me away from that. Which to me says, you did steroids.
And I have no remorse.
And I have no remorse.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to admit it.
Made him a lot of money.
Made him a lot of money, but he basically kind of, yeah, just kind of sat there and said, I don't care what you think, you know, to where there's a lot of guys out there. Like, I think Andy Pettit would do anything in his power to get in the Hall of Fame. And he's a Hall of Famer. And I think he went about it the right way. You know, and I think it took a while for Mark. It took a while for Alex to kind of come back around. And those are the demons they're going to have to live with.
Still taking a while for Mr. Bonds.
Yep. But Bonds has never been that way. Bonds has always been defiant. And I think in human culture, especially when it comes to mistakes and something that didn't hurt other people like steroids, I give a little more credit to a Mark McGwire than I do a Sammy Sosa. You know, I give a ton of credit to Andy Pettit, and I give none to Roger Clemens. And I think that's the way you tackle stuff. Like, we're seeing things now. Like, that's one thing that's so great. Like, one of my absolute favorite things about the Black Lives Matter movement, outside of, you know, bringing justice for oppressed people, is it's hopefully creating a system, creating a society that we can admit we've made a mistake, we can learn from it, and we can be forgiven. And that's the route McGwire took. And I don't think that's the route Sammy took. It's the route Alex took. It's the route Andy took. It's not the route Roger took or the route Barry took. And until you kind of do that, people are willing to accept that. Pete Rose eventually said he bet on baseball. And we never thought he would do that in his entire life. He seems a little better for it.
I'm going to tie this to something else that happened. I'm not sure if you saw it or not, because it kind of got hidden by, you know,
everything,
the world that's happening. Alex Cora spoke for the first time.
Mm.
Did you see this?
I did.
Alex Cora admitted to doing it. He said, the only thing I don't like is that they're all pinning it on me and Beltran, and that was not the case. We were all doing it. And he said, I accept my punishment. I deserve the punishment. I wish I didn't do it. We got caught up in it. Does that change how you feel about Alex Cora moving forward, because he didn't stay defiant? Some of the Astro players are still defiant about it.
Yep.
And Cora was like, look, I got caught with my hand in the cookie jar. You know, the cookies were delicious and I really wanted it. So I kept going in and my hand got caught. I deserve the punishment. And just don't blame it all on me, because I'm not the only one here who did that. Because to me, I was actually surprised that Cora was like that, because from what I've seen...
I was quite surprised too. He seemed quite defiant.
From what I've seen from Cora, just generally, he kind of has an attitude about him of like, I'm great and you're not stopping me. Especially once he became a manager, I felt like it changed his like persona. Because when he was on TV, I thought he was great. You know, you don't know anything about bench coaches, so I can't really say either way with the Astros. But when you become a successful manager, you either kind of get this attitude about you, about like, I'm great, or you kind of are just, you stay yourself, but you're just successful. And I felt like Cora kind of let it change him a little bit. And I was glad to hear him say that because it does change how I view it a little bit, because he, you know, he apologized for it and said it was, I know it was wrong and I wish I didn't do it.
I think it's a little twofold. You know, the apology goes a long way. That's your first step. The second step is how do you repair it? Is how do you act going forward? Because, you know, give Alex Rodriguez credit. He lied for a long time. He lied to Katie Couric in 2011 in front of national television, in front of everybody in the world. And then he got the longest suspension in the history of baseball without ever testing positive, admitted. And what does he do now? Now he does everything he can to make baseball better. I don't see Bonds doing that. I don't see Clemens doing that. So the question is for Alex Cora now in that, and something I saw Mark McGwire kind of allude to, especially being a hitting coach and trying to be a part of Major League Baseball and help youth and make young players better players. He is putting that money where his mouth is. So for Cora in this situation, he's got to do the same thing. I got to see you try to make baseball better. However that is.
If he comes back, I mean, he's still suspended for...
Right. And however that is, even if it's, you know, donating to charities and building inner city, you know, baseball fields, or going back to your home country and instilling teachings and stuff like that. Like, you're a World Series winning manager for a reason. You know the game. So if you can use that intelligence, whether it's coaching, philanthropy, awareness, anything like that, that's how we're going to see it. I know. And before anybody, you know, texts in or says anything, I know Alex is still kind of selfish because he's on TV. It's still look at me. But when he talks, you honestly believe he's trying to help people understand baseball.
Yeah, I'm torn with A-Rod because I do like him as an analyst. But I still hear that he's a giant douche.
Well, and I tend to be an A-Rod apologist. This I'm fully aware of.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the reasons that I sit here across this desk from you, Mike, is a Hunt for the Host moment where I spent 4 minutes talking about why Alex Rodriguez gets a bad rap. And that was decent enough for me to sit here with you. So I've always been an A-Rod apologist, and I understand that. But he has tried to do something better. Now it's time for Alex Cora. I think Mark McGwire's done that.
Yeah.
Sammy Sosa has not.
Yeah, AJ Hinch, on the other hand, did not seem as remorseful as Alex Cora.
AJ Hinch looks like a man who's given up. I view AJ Hinch as like, that was cool. You'll never take those memories from me, but I'm done.
Yeah. And he knows it.
And he knows he's done.
Yeah.
Yeah. AJ Hinch doesn't get another job.
I'm not sure I'm going to go that far because, well, baseball loves its retreads, but
turn to blind eye.
We'll see.
Turn to blind eye. It's one thing to be the culprit. It's another to know the culprit and not say anything.
Is it?
I think it's harder for people to come back on that. I think when you're...
That seems really backwards to me. If that's true, and you might be right, that seems super backwards.
I think when you're a bad person, people are like, you're a bad person. When you're a good person that lets a bad person do things, people kind of hold that a little...
Yeah.
They hold that.
Like, I'm disappointed in you.
Yep. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. Toward Alex Cora, people are just like, man, F you. Nobody likes you anyway. Toward Hinch, it's like, come on, bud. You know better than that.
And you lied about it.
And you lied. That's what it is.
Yeah.
We live in a society now where it's okay to be honest, tell your truths, and learn from your mistakes. When we come back, I do want to touch on a little bit of Premier League football because today was awesome. But first, there's Joe with sports.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
Not gonna lie, I don't know Kendrick's portfolio that well. This beat is fire.
Well, don't worry about it, because this isn't part of Kendrick's portfolio. I granted Mike's wish.
Oh, duh. I literally played this for you
20 minutes ago.
I was like, why do I know this beat? This beat is dope.
This is Silly Putty by Zion.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joe.
You're welcome.
I was on my whole brain.
This is a great song. Do not give me the "you're welcome." You love this song.
I was just being stubborn today. That's why I say it like that.
My head was
Zion I song.
My head was in the Kendrick life. and I heard this beat. I was like, whoa, this is a Kendrick song? This sounds good. Yeah, sorry.
I was worried people listening might be concerned hearing all these beepings and say, what the hell's wrong with my radio?
Look, I spent a lot of time listening to Andra Nicotina, okay? So clearly there's parts of my life that are a little fuzzy, okay? All right.
All right.
We had lots of fun.
Apparently Devin the Dude as well.
Devin the Dude. Devin the Dude. I got nothing to roll with. I think I can play that song on the ukulele.
Okay. Yeah, you should do it your next live Instagram.
I should. I still know all the lyrics.
So you should do that.
It's just so easy. I'm just sitting right here with an ice cold beer, and I got a bag of weed that I don't have nothing to roll with.
There you go.
Can't do the next verse because, you know,
I guess you're probably FCC. You're probably not doing the show tomorrow because of, well, opening.
No, I'm going to give it a shot.
Okay.
I'm
you should do that. Put that on your list.
Give
it
the old college try.
Put that on your list of songs. The order list or whatever.
The order list? Yeah. All right.
Do it.
It's called the set list.
Well, no, I know. I'm saying, what is the paper? You write it on like a restaurant paper.
Yeah, that's called a set list.
No, he's talking about the actual check pad. Yeah.
Yeah, the check pad. Thank you.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, sure.
I don't know. Yeah.
I just call it like the order list.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we have them lying around everywhere. Yeah. Just don't tell my boss that I took one from work.
I think it's pretty edgy.
That's why I do it.
Songs on there.
That's why I do it. I mean, like, hey, man.
Stick it to the man.
There's supposed to be food and orders on here. No, I'm putting my music set list on.
Yeah, because this music's going to suffice you like food and drink would.
This will nourish
Bam.
You.
Bam. Bam.
This will satiate your musical appetite.
That is very edgy of you.
Please. Live on Instagram, television, and Facebook live tomorrow, P. Diddy 085, 7 o'clock.
Nice. It's lit!
Thanks, Travis. did you guys see today that, I text you, Mike, but I don't, and I text you about this, but I don't know if Joe saw it. Did you know that Rick Astley got Rickrolled on Reddit today?
I saw something about that. He posted a picture of himself.
Yeah, he was like, I found this on my first tour in 1989, and then someone commented on it. It was confirmed by Reddit mods that it was Rick Astley.
Yeah, it said really Rick Astley, the username.
That's his handle. Yeah. And then someone posted on it was like, oh my God, this picture's so great. I was on this tour. I actually met you backstage with some friends, and I've seen you 5 times. You're the great. And backstage was a link. Like you could click it, like it'd be a picture of them backstage. And apparently Rick Astley clicked it and he got Rickrolled.
That is amazing.
And I think it's the greatest thing to happen on the internet in a long time.
I also saw in that same thread, someone asked him, he goes, hey, you ever gonna give me up? And he literally just responded with, go F yourself. But, like, he actually said the F word.
Yeah.
It's so just like, oh, there you go, Rick.
Did he, like, respond and let them know, like, you got me or something
He gave him a hand clap emoji.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Hand clap emoji.
Perfect.
Yep.
That is so great.
See, that's awesome. Like, that's how you got to do it. Like, that's where we are now. That's life now. Like, if you are Rick Astley and someone Rick rolls you, you got to just say,
I do wonder if
Nicely
that's
done.
The first time he's ever been Rickrolled.
Can't be.
Like, yeah.
Can't be.
It's got to be.
It's true.
It's got to be a weekly, monthly occurrence, maybe.
Yeah,
if
you were like Joe joked, like someone's going to get you multiple times. Like you're going to walk down the street. You're going to walk in the halls here at Intercom on the poop-filled Willamette, and you're going to be walking down, and someone's going to Joe-joke you, and it's going to be like, aha, got you. Yeah. Hey, guys, did you know I got Joe Fisher? You know, like, I'm sure Rick Astley's kids Rickroll him. Dad, can you help me with this math problem? Just click that, and he clicks it, and it's never going to give you up, never going to let you down.
Never going to turn around and hurt you.
I need to Rickroll my son.
Dude, I just started Rickrolling my girlfriend.
I just need to start doing it. I need to start doing it a lot and just to piss him off, get under his skin.
Technically, I'm not Rickrolling her, to be fair. I am just sending the gifts over text messages.
Oh, that's not Rickroll.
It's not a Rickroll.
No, you should be stepping it up and Rickrolling her now.
This is what I want for my birthday. You send her a link. Well, and now you have to be careful about it on the internet because the music video and the clip, like the Rickroll clip, has been hit so many times on YouTube that it now has an ad before it. So you got to find like now people have Rickroll, but I'm going to type a bunch of letters so that it's not really popular. So there's no ads because now there's ads on Rick Astley.
I'm going to really.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
I'm going to monetize
this. Yeah, so you got to be careful. You got to make sure you get your Rick Roll correct. In fact, if there's no baseball next week, we might just spend 2 hours teaching people how to Rick Roll someone. Does that sound great? And it's not, and for the longest time, I thought Rick Roll was like Rick Ross. I didn't even know.
Really?
So if you just did that, I was like, oh, you got Rick Roll. This is years and years and years ago.
Yep, there's the ad.
Yep.
I got an Apple Watch ad.
Yep.
Do you want to guess how many views this video has on YouTube?
Oh, I'm going to go... I'm definitely going to say over 500 million.
Over 500 million?
Yeah.
Holy
ass. I mean, there's some videos that, what is it, the Gangnam Style got like a billion or 2 billion or something like that.
Oh, I forgot about that song. That was so fun for a month.
Yeah. I'm going to go... I'm going to go 650 million, Bob.
Whoa, I was going to say something like 100 million, but now you got me going. I'll take the over, Bob. I'll go with 875 million hits.
706,130,321 views.
That's right in the middle there.
Joe wins. I went over. Price is right rules. Always Price is Right rules.
No. Price is Right rules.
Plinko. Let's play Plinko.
Yeah, you win. I live life by Price is Right rules. Does anybody else?
I mean...
Like, if we got a guess and I go over, I'm like...
Oh, that was kind of the standard.
Yeah, instantly you lose. If you went over, it's like, oh, man.
The
y'all
top,
went over?
The top comments on the video...
Oh, you're going to go down that rabbit hole, huh?
...include...
Let's read YouTube comments.
My favorite.
This isn't your first time here, and you know it.
That is a good one.
321K likes.
That is a good one. This isn't your first time here, and you know it.
Gonna flag this for nudity so I can Rickroll the YouTube staff.
That's great too. That is how you Rickroll. Flag for nudity, and they're like, all right, we gotta check this out. Damn it. Never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you down.
Never gonna. You gotta go into like the more like Elvis-y voice with it because that's kind of how it goes.
He's a little more like Michael McDonald.
That's it. That's probably a better way to put it. And then this is the internet's theme song. We can all agree.
It's the truth. It's the greatest thing in the world. I like...
Hold on, this isn't the national state anthem of the Soviet Union.
Like, do people really get mad when they get Rickrolled?
Oh, I'm sure some people do. Some people are party poopers. She poops at parties.
Yeah, she poops at parties? That sounds disgusting.
Who's winning? What is occurring?
If sometimes they are stealing the pillows.
If I genuinely get Rickrolled and don't see it coming... I'm usually a big fan of it.
Yeah, I go, good on you.
I like the song. I'm okay with it. And the way he dances is so great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel great about life right now.
Joe's
dancing in the...
This will be more for Joe than you, Patrick, but dislikes are kids who thought they were getting free V-Bucks. Just like gaming currency.
Oh, man.
Oh, yes. And then the famous, I'm gay. 95k upvotes.
Oh man, can we just call it here? Just go home, flip 15. On automation.
No.
The entire last segment is just Rick Astley never gonna give you up.
It's not a bad read. It's really not a bad read.
Instead of us doing a 7-minute segment, we do 3 minutes and then just play the song.
I'm in, dude. I love the song.
So do I. It's actually not bad. I love the song.
All right, when we come back, time to get Rickrolled. This is the Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan. Here I was ready for a little Kendrick Lamar, and I got Rickrolled.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
Because he's like skinny little white dude and he's got this deep marbly voice.
Have you guys seen the episode of Family Guy where they parody Back to the Future?
No, I don't watch that show.
And I mean, I might have because I used to watch it.
It's an older episode, but at the very end, Brian is on stage playing the guitar with the band like in Back to the Future, and they want an encore. He just goes, here's a song by a gay guy, and then he just busts this out.
So song is beautiful, man.
I do remember that, actually.
I didn't even know Rick Astley was gay.
I didn't either until that Family Guy episode.
So he is gay?
Yeah.
I guess it doesn't matter.
I guess. I mean, I'll really take Seth MacFarlane's word for it, you know.
Might not be something you want to do. Could be lying. It is just a cartoon made for jokes and laughs.
Did you know that Laura Bush killed a guy?
I did know that.
Laura Bush killed a guy.
I did know that.
That's in Family Guy, and that was true. I didn't believe it when they said it, but they repeated it four times in a row, so I had to Google it. I'm like,
that's what they wanted you to do.
I was like, yeah, she did. She killed a guy.
Did you? So wait a sec. So this hotkey has existed in
what, right here?
Yeah. This thing has existed and you were able to just add it off the fly?
Yeah, it was in the library. I figured it was in the library somewhere. And I just threw it
in. You got to be careful, Joe, because we're not allowed to play some of those in the library.
Yeah, now that I think about it, that probably just got us in trouble. Fantastic.
Maybe we're Rickrolling the FCC.
Yeah.
Somebody's like, you got to tune in at 8:47 of the Hot Corner, 10 a.m. Fan, Portland, Oregon. Never going to give you up. And I'll bet you they're just like, nope, I'm done. I'm not following up on this. I'm out. Okay, we're not writing them. We're not writing them a ticket. We're not fining them. I just don't ever want to hear that GD song ever again.
It will be pretty funny, though, if we get some sort of letter saying, like, hey, this song played. We need the royalties for it now. And it's like, what song was it? And it says, never going to give you up. So whoever's getting that letter will get somewhat Rickrolled by seeing on the note.
The, like, secret sign Rickroll. Yes. I like it.
The FCC is like, oh, you won't Rickroll me.
They're like, never mind. That's a good one. Okay.
It's an email.
I'm not sure that the suits at the FCC are like that, Joe.
It's an email, and that's the link. Like, this is the song that you played. Click on this link, and you click, and it's just never going to give you up.
We'll give you
never going to let you down.
Patrick, you got to lower the voice. You got a low voice.
I know.
You got to get into his voice. You do it like you're too excited snapping with
it. Yeah, because it's awesome.
You got to get into the register of Mr. Astley here.
Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, gonna turn around and hurt you.
There you go.
Like that? Yes. A little better there?
That was dynamite.
Can you get
never gonna give you up, never gonna say goodbye.
There we go.
There we go.
Yeah, can you get the ukulele chords for that song and throw it on the set list?
And desert you. Yeah, maybe.
That'd be,
no strangers
honestly,
to love.
That'd be fantastic.
Especially if you could, like, slow it down. You know,
we're no
never gonna give you up,
yeah. Dude. With a ukulele, are you kidding me?
You,
you better start working on that tonight.
Never gonna
turn around and hurt you.
Ding, 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 ding.
All right. I'm on it.
Get into a random ukulele solo in the middle of the chorus,
and just ding, ding, ding,
ding. Yeah,
ding, ding, ding. All right.
Both of your noises for the ukulele did not sound like a ukulele to me.
No. Especially because I put, like, some new strings on it, so it's super deep.
My favorite song with the ukulele is the Somewhere Over the Rainbow from Israel.
Do you hear me, Joe? I was like, don't do it.
Yeah.
That is a beautiful song, and you shut your mouth.
Yeah, sure.
I like...
I
like White Sandy Beach by him. White Sandy Beach in Hawaii.
R.I.P. Yeah. I don't know your last name because it's very hard to pronounce, but I know your first name is Israel. And that's cool.
Is.
Israel K.
We call him Is.
Brada Is.
I think it's like Kamakawala, something like that.
Yeah.
I didn't make that up. That's actually an honest guess.
I think it's something along those lines, but it's really hard to pronounce the Polynesian / Hawaiian last name, so I don't try.
My favorite ukulele song is a song called Ram On by Paul McCartney on his second solo album.
All right.
Great. It's excellent.
I love that we can go to you for the deep cuts on ukuleles.
No, you can always go to me on the deep cuts for Paul McCartney. I just happen to know he plays ukulele. George Harrison plays ukulele on She's Leaving Home off Sgt. Pepper's.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I believe you.
Yeah. McCartney said that there was a time where he'd roll into George's place and they would have dinner. And then all of a sudden drinks and the ukuleles came out and people just were on drugs and played ukulele all the time.
It's a beautiful instrument.
It's okay. It's easy.
Is it easy?
Yeah.
I guess there's not, how many strings is it? Three?
Four.
Four? I guess it's probably easier.
You play it all the time, and you're like, it's okay.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, well, I mean,
I play it, but I only play.
It's
me.
I only play it because my hands are small, and I don't got the dexterity to play, you know, guitar. So that's kind of it. This should be our outro music from here on out.
I don't know about here on out.
Forever.
Okay, all right.
This might be a little overboard, Joe, but you should grab Patrick singing the first part of the chorus and then in the version of our close music, cut out completely and just have him do that part of the chorus. Because it was really good. We got a text that said that was effing on point, to be honest. It was really good. It was. I mean, he is a vocalist. He's a singer. So, I mean, I should expect that, but that was really good.
Maybe I'll just go home and record it.
Pull up the instrumental. Do it, man.
Yeah. No. I'll put all the
I want to hear a cover.
I got a buddy that can do all the instruments. I'll be like, dude, we're Rick Rolling the world, and we're going to cover it. Let's do it. Maybe he'll get on board. Mike's got his hands in the air. All right.
Hold on. I got one more.
And it's 2020, so he's got a phone and not a lighter. Let's see here.
You got the lighter?
Hey, Lil Wayne over here.
All right, that does it for us. We'll get out of here. We'll come back next week, and I'll tell you what, next week is going to be a show you ain't going to want to miss, because it's either going to be about baseball or it's going to be about Pac-12 football.
No. Next week is the last show about baseball. It was 2 weeks from last week, so we got one more show.
All right, one more show before we change everything. This Rickroll thing has really got me going right now. I am loving it. That's Mike Lynch, Joe Fish behind the glass. I'm Patrick Harris. Go do something I would do. Like 6 to midnight.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.